It was the AM dial that we turned on to get our weather updates, to tell us when to head to the basement. Of course, we were in the Midwest, so we headed to the porch to look at the tornado. But but AM radio was the place to go to. And look, I remember listening to AM radio as that young 15-year-old on the tractor out in the field as well. And my grandfather certainly listened to it. We listened to it every day as we did chores in the morning to hear the ag report. So Americans depend on AM radio. It's a strong format. It's a strong backing. I think we've made that case to the auto manufacturers. I think we have that case made in Congress. Now we just need to do the rest of the administrative process and get this bill moved through and get AM radio moving forward and protected.
NRV's mission is twofold: to protect the free speech rights of their members, to speak biblical truth by advocating those rights in governmental, corporate, and media sectors, and to foster excellence, integrity, and accountability in their membership by providing networking, educational, ministry, and relational opportunities. Hi, and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. And today we welcome the president and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters, Troy Miller. Troy, welcome to Bot Radio Network here in Memphis.
Well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
And you're just in our neighboring city there in Nashville, and I think you told me it's kind of sunny and the weather's pretty nice right now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in Nashville. The sun's out and it's a nice 72 degrees, so we're hoping that this means that spring is in and summer's on the way.
I'm telling you what, that's what I'm looking forward to. Well, Troy, as you know, back in February at the annual National Christian Convention, the media convention that NRB hosts each year, was the 80th anniversary. Now, I'm not insinuating that you're 80 years old, but this was a big celebration for NRB.
It was a big celebration. I wasn't around at the beginning, but NRB started back in 1944 when a group of broadcasters, pastors wanted to be on radio and be broadcasters and have their programs to share the gospel. And another group said, we want to decide. And NRB came together to protect the rights of independent broadcasters, radio producers, program producers. And now, of course, we're in the digital age. We do that for folks on the internet and just anybody who's really in Christian communications. That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting your wife, Marcia, at this year's convention at our Bot Radio Network breakfast, and she is a delight. I know why you married her.
Well, they say it's true behind every good man is a wife who really does all the work, and she's great. She supports me in this, especially since NRB these days takes me all over the country and around the world.
Troy, you have some connection with one of our neighboring states, Mississippi, where we broadcast into. Back in 83 to 88, you spent some time there at the Naval Engineering Command at Ingalls Shipyard in Pascagoula, Mississippi. You remember those days?
Boy, you guys have done your homework. That's a long time ago. That sure takes me back. Yeah, Ingalls Shipyard was one of the premier shipbuilders for the U.S. Navy. They were building U.S. Navy Aegis cruisers at the time. And the ship, the USS Bunker Hill, was under construction. And we were down there for about a year and a half while that ship got built. So, yeah, that's really good. It was a great time. We loved it down in Mississippi.
You know, I got to see the USS Kitty Hawk and the Independence carriers when we were missionaries with Transworld Radio. Back in the mid-90s, those ships made their stop on the island. And boy, you don't realize how incredibly big some of these ships can be.
Oh, they're massive, especially the aircraft carriers are, you know, appropriately called floating cities. You know, these have anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 sailors on them. And when you add the fleet of support around them, these cities, as you said, you can have a good group of about 8,000 to 10,000 sailors pull in one day.
That's right. Well, in addition, Troy, to you having just a lot of business experience and background, you served as the executive vice president and chief operating officer for D. James Kennedy Ministries. That must have been a blessing.
It was a real blessing for me back in my Navy days again after Ingalls Shipyard. Our ship ended up in 1987, the Bunker Hill, which I was attached to then, ended up in the Persian Gulf doing the tanker escorts back when the Iranians were threatened to shut down the oil traffic there. And I had a grandmother who got saved in the 1970s. She looked at her family as her first mission field. She watched religious television every week. That's all she watched. And she watched this preacher out of Fort Lauderdale, D. James Kennedy, and she ordered a book of his called Why I Believe, and she sent it to her grandson in the Navy, and it was instrumental in bringing both me and my wife to Christ. So to go work for him was just a dream come true.
What a beautiful story, Troy. Great story of God's grace. The way he works in our life for salvation through Christ. What a great word. Well, we're here today to talk about something that's very important to really not just the national religious broadcasters, but really to our Bot Radio Network listeners. We want to talk about this AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act of 2023. It was Senate Bill 1669. It was introduced in the Senate in May of last year. The bill requires the Department of Transportation to issue a rule that requires all new motor vehicles to have devices that can access AM broadcast stations installed as standard equipment. And it continues on here. We don't have to go into all the details, but that's really a bottom line what we want to talk about today. And I know that you've been quite involved in this particular issue. Before we go there, you were first elected as president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters back in 2022. You have seen the importance of the work NRB does through Christian media. How have you seen it become clear to you from the day you first were elected as president?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've been since I went to work for Dr. Kennedy in 1999. I've been in the Christian media, Christian ministry sector. So I worked for him for 6.5 years. Our ministry had both television and radio program that we produced, and later on also producing for streaming over the internet. And then for 18 years leading up to coming over to NRB, I was the chief executive officer and president of NRB TV, an affiliate group. So we have been an associated with NRB for at least 20 years. So the work that NRB does is important to broadcasters, because not only just what the government does in general into making sure all of our broadcasters know what all the regulations are, what they have to do to make sure they maintain compliance to keep their FCC license, but also, again, advocating on their behalf so that they can have the most favorable work environment, business environment that they can to do the ministry that they've been called to. And that's just important because we kind of call them our big brother, the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters. They're looking out for a lot of broadcasters, but they're more on the secular broadcaster side in the commercial broadcasting. Religious broadcasters have a unique mission and role. Not only do we do what we do over the air with all of our programming, but as you know, and you all in Memphis do, a lot of community activity as well. And so that's important that the people who are making the decisions up in Washington, D.C. understand all of the work that Christian broadcasters and their programmers are involved in.
That's so true. I can see the vitalness. I've seen it in my own career over so many years. The community relations are so vitally important. Well, this AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, as you mentioned, not only is the NRB concerned, as you said, the National Association of Broadcasters also are concerned. Their spokesman, Alex Salinio, credits grassroots support, and he said this: AM radio is continuing to reach a vast audience of 82 million listeners each month, and they have been very engaged in telling Congress how important this medium is to them in light of the threat by vehicle makers to remove AM from vehicles. I mean, that says a lot. 82 million listeners each month. Troy, the efforts that you've been engaged in with NRB in this whole issue.
Yeah, just a little history behind that. And that was a great comment, a great statement that they made. And I was out at the National Association of Broadcasters convention just last week, and AM radio was discussed a number of times. And Curtis Leggett, who's the CEO and president over there, mentioned AM radio in his opening address as well. And the key about AM radio was that this idea came up. There was going to be interference with the new cars, especially the electric vehicles, the EVs that were coming out. And this was going to cause interference with the radio. And, you know, the car manufacturers just kind of made an assumption on their own that AM radio was, you know, important to society anymore. And this is kind of sometimes what happens when you're up in that C-suite and you live in the cities and you don't understand how many Americans do across this country still depend on AM radio, not just in rural America, but even in urban America. AM radio is still very strong for listeners. But look, I grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and we listened to AM radio all the time. AM radio is the go-to place for news, for weather, for the farm reports, especially when storms or natural disasters would come through. You can always count on AM radio cutting through all of that. And that's what really, as you said, 82 million people do across this country. They also mentioned that over 400,000 people have written to Congress saying you need to protect AM radio. So there's a few things going on here. The Government Accounting Office did a study, and they said, look, the part to really shield this is about a $49, $50 part to do this. When you put that in the cost of a $15, $20, or $25,000 car, it's really insignificant. So there's more going on here. So we came out and we said, hey, AM radio is important. Here's why it's important. And lo and behold, Ford, which was the company that started this, they backed off and said, yeah, we're going to keep AM radio. And now we have this effort in Congress, both the Senate and the House, to keep AM radio in the dash.
That's unusual. We see a bipartisan group in Congress working to actually introduce this act. Now, you know, we're almost a year out since the bill was first introduced. In March of this year, the number of voting co-sponsors needed was reached to ensure passage through the House of Representatives. Sponsors of the House legislation that was led by New Jersey Representative Josh Gottheimer announced that they had picked up the 218 voting supporter. And additionally, Troy, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said that he's ready to run with the act the moment Congress gets it done. Now, do you see this as an indication that this is a bill shoe-in?
Well, I hope it's a shoe-in. I don't know we'll call it that until it gets across the line. But yeah, there is strong bipartisan support. Both the bills in the House and the Senate were sponsored. Their sponsors are both Democrats and Republicans, so and the co-sponsors down the line. The Senate is just about to pass the 60 mark, probably in the next week or so we'll do that. Now some other bills have cleared out of the way. That will make it filibuster-proof in the Senate as well. So we do expect that this Congress is going to pass this bill probably before they go into recession over the summer.
Well, back in February of this year at the annual NRB International Christian Media Convention in Nashville, as we've mentioned, President Trump pledged his support for AM radio. Now, do you know if President Biden has indicated similar support?
I don't know of a statement, a specific statement that's come out of the White House, but every indication is that if this gets to the president's desk, that it will be a bill that gets signed.
Has this issue for those not in favor of this act more of a thorn in the saddle for the electric vehicle auto manufacturers? Or they seem to be the main culprit here?
Well, I think the other thing that's really going on here is a bit of a free speech issue as well. So it did come out in the last few weeks that the real driver maybe behind this is what's known as the connected car. The manufacturers, of course, when you buy a vehicle today, every vehicle has these nice big screens in them. They look like a computer. They're touch screens. You can get apps and load all kinds of things. And so the real issue is who's going to control the information that's in the car. So I think the auto manufacturers would love to have you sign up for subscription services. And of course, it would generate new revenue for them. And they can control the information in the car. And we just think it's important not to disenfranchise, as you said, 82 million Americans. But we think there's a lot more than that that depend on the AM radio to be able to have the choice of either free radio or the subscription. So we're not asking for anything above and beyond. We're just asking for a fair playing field in the car. So I think that's part of what's behind it. But the vehicle manufacturers, as far as the part now, that argument has really gone away.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, Troy, a fair playing card. I understand that digital streaming rates for religious broadcasters are 18% higher than those paid by NPR.
Oh, yeah, that's another issue that NRB is battling as well. That's the digital royalties rates, the music licensing rates that are paid by Christian broadcasters. And you're exactly right, 18% higher than what's paid by NPR. And we just don't think that's fair. And not only that, it's been very hard to get them to come to the table and even talk and negotiate. So we had to move forward in the court to get them to address this issue.
Well, as you've mentioned here, you've wanted to protect NRB members from unwarranted and damaging new performance royalties from record labels. Share your thoughts a little more on Congress allowing broadcasters and music labels to negotiate good faith private deals for the advantage, really, of both parties.
Yeah, and that's the fair market at work to have Congress do this. You know, the problem with what's going on in music licensing today is the whole system needs to be reviewed by Congress from the ground up and kind of looked at in today's environment with not only over-the-air broadcasting, but with streaming and most radio stations, most broadcasters are into multiple delivery platforms, not just their signals that go out. And so we're looking at Congress to kind of step back and stop band-aiding what's gone on in music licensing over the last couple of days and take a fresh look at it from the ground up and allow, as you said, allow organizations to go out and negotiate directly without all these special rules that Congress has put in place to give one side an advantage over the other.
Well, you and I both understand that local radio equals local business, Troy. Radio stations like this one here, Bot Radio Network, are more than programming listeners here. They are small businesses paying salaries, property taxes, payroll taxes, rent, utilities, along with a plethora of other operational costs. Not passing this bill would impact a lot of businesses and workers, a really a major blow to already a suffering economy, don't you know?
Oh, absolutely. And local radio, as you said, it provides that access for those local businessmen to those markets. And it's much harder for them to compete on the national scale to try to get into markets. They really need the local broadcasters to do that and to partner with the local broadcasters. Who knows your community better than the people that live there, not people that are, you know, in other cities across the country trying to make those decisions. So it's important. Look, Congress has said, the Federal Communication Commission has said that local broadcasting is a vital part of our society and is important for us as a society and people. And we're just asking Congress to remember that they've already made this decision and to help protect local broadcasting from being gobbled up by large corporate national broadcasters that really won't look or service those local markets.
Well, the AM for Every Vehicle Act has further verbiage that says the Government Accountability Office must study and report on whether a reliable alternative communication system exists for delivering emergency alerts and consider the costs to drivers and passengers of receiving communications through an alternate system. Second, a cost and time required to develop and implement an alternative. Now, could this be a potential loophole in the future if such communication systems are developed and create another battle line to save AM radio?
Well, it could be, but you got to remember AM radio itself is innovating as we go through. We know how strong the AM signal is to be able to communicate and cut through storms and other barriers and to reach a longer distance. So we're not afraid that AM radio can stand and compete on its own. We just want to be able to have that opportunity to continue on the platform. So we're okay with that legislation in there, but we think the emergency broadcast system is robust on AM radio, and AM digital radio is even more opportunities that come down the road. So we're not trying to say, look, AM deserves an unfair balance. We just want that level playing field, and we're willing to have Congress look at this over time and see, hey, if there are changes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the power of AM radio, Troy. Our listeners know that we at 640 AM are 50,000 watts, one of the strongest Christian radio format signals in North America, reaching into 8 states. I had a listener from Monroe, Louisiana, call me driving on his combine in the fields on his cell phone. I've had callers from Southern Illinois, Cape Girardeau, and the Boot Hill, and even a caller from Longview, Texas. It says, you know, you've been talking about 8 states. I've been listening to you guys for 13 years. So AM radio has that unique quality sometimes of reaching places and people you have no idea.
That's exactly right. And again, that's the strength of AM radio, and that signal quality, that signal strength cuts through not only distance, but again, when the storms came through, when I lived in Nebraska in Tornado Alley, it was the AM dial that we turned on to get our weather updates, to tell us when to head to the basement. Of course, we were in the Midwest, so we headed to the porch to look at the tornado, but AM radio was the place to go to. And look, I remember listening to AM radio as that young 15-year-old on the tractor out in the field as well. And my grandfather certainly listened to it. We listened to it every day as we did chores in the morning to hear the ag report. So Americans depend on AM radio. It's a strong format. It's a strong backing. I think we've made that case to the auto manufacturers. I think we have that case made in Congress. Now we just need to do the rest of the administrative process and get this bill moved through and get AM radio moving forward and protected.
Troy, as president and CEO of NRB, you have continuously upheld the association's historic support for Israel and concern for the welfare of the Jewish people. You returned, I believe it was in January this year, from a solidarity tour to Israel, which you defined as the most important and emotional trip you'd ever been on. Can you take us for a moment to that place and the places where you toured and some of the things you experienced?
Yeah, it really was. I traveled all around the world. I was in the Navy. I've been in several war zones. This trip was, as I said, the most emotional. We arrived and then we had some special permission from the government, and we went down to all of the cities along the Gaza border that were attacked on October 7th. We went to Be'er, one of the first kibbutz that was attacked that day, and met with some of the survivors, saw firsthand the atrocities that went on in those communities. people that were, you know, had barricaded themselves into their homes, only for the Hamas terrorists to light, set their homes on fire then, and then execute them as they tried to exit their homes. And it was very, very hard to listen to as a father of four children, to think you got up that morning, it was a Jewish holiday, you thought it was a normal, just a beautiful day, your kids were going to go out and play in the yard, and the next thing you hear is sirens for a missile attack, and then the next thing you hear is gunfire in your own community. And the terror that went on, and some of the atrocities are even unspeakable. It really wasn't just an attack. It was a direct attack on the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, but it was also, the evil went on that day was just an attack on humanity itself. Then we went and met in Jerusalem with some of the families that were displaced there. And the most emotional day was to meeting with hostage families, those people who are still being held. There's 133 hostages still being held by Hamas. The youngest hostages are toddlers that are being held. I believe the youngest one is about 3 years old being held, and the oldest are some of our seniors that are in their 70s. And we don't know the status of those hostages. So it is so important for us to stand by Israel during this time, because again, this was not just an attack on the Israeli people. This was an attack on humanity.
Oh my, Troy. At this year's NRB convention, I sat down with Adele Raymer, one of the Israeli ladies who was from the kibbutz there in Israel there on October 7th. And she told her horrifying experience for a radio show here on Mid-South Viewpoint that we aired. And it just breaks your heart to hear that. And our prayers do need to be with the families and continue to pray for the release of those remaining hostages. But as you stand in the trenches of cultural warfare, bombarded by anti-Christian philosophy that ignores our Constitution, real justice, and sound government, what gives you motivation and strength to fight another day?
Well, look, at the core of what NRB does, we talk about our advocacy, we talk about our helping excellence in ministry, but the core of what we do is really to protect the proclamation of the gospel. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. And it doesn't matter what Christian organization we happen to run, we're about the proclamation of the gospel at the end of the day. And of course, the gospel gives us the hope that we need to keep working day in and day out. And, you know, as you said, we have a culture today that has turned. I'll say that in America right now, we're very hostile towards Christianity. We've seen all the protests that have been going on across the country, the anti-Semitism that has gone on, and the anti-Christian protests. There's been a number of attacks on churches, pregnancy care centers, and just in a number of things across this country. But as hard as we fight, and we should fight in the culture to change the culture, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in that, is what moves us forward, and it's for the glory of God that we do all of our work.
Oh, yes. Well, Troy, if the gospel is the best news for humankind, Christian media has an incredible privilege and responsibility to reach all nations with that message. How do we best mobilize our resources as a unified coalition to tell that story?
Well, that's a great question. And look, we talk about a lot of division and diversity in the church, but look, the church has had that from day one. If you're a real student of the New Testament, you know that the church wasn't birthed in this perfect environment of cooperation and coordination. And the church has those differences. Some of those differences are good because those allow different people to reach different groups. And so some of that diversity in there, as Paul described in Corinthians, the body, the hand, the arms, legs, the feet, we need all of those things to go forward. But I think that the charge we have to take, and we've been talking about this for the last couple of years, is we have to remember that at the end of the day, we have unity in the gospel, we have unity in Christ, and that we all make up the bride of Christ, and that should be our focus. We're working on all of these issues in society, and some of them are temporal issues, but many of them are issues about eternity, and especially eternity where people will spend. And that's the important thing at the end of the day. It's good that we help people with education. It's good that we help people to get food and housing and clothing and all of those things, clean water and that. But at the end of the day, if we have well-fed, well-educated, well-housed people who spend eternity in hell, then we failed. So I think for us as a church and for us as a community, and as you said, especially for us as Christian communicators, Christian broadcasters, and Christian programmers, that's something we have to remember and come together on.
Well, the late Adrian Rogers once said, we don't need to try to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, but we do have a story to tell, right?
Yeah, I loved Adrian Rogers. I loved his practicality that he brought the gospel down to. But that's exactly right. We all have a story to tell. Look, we're directed by the scriptures to tell that story.
Well, Troy, how can our Bot Radio Network listeners best engage and show their support for the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act?
So you can go to nrb.org. You can read what we have posted up there, written about the AM Radio Act. You can also go out to house.gov or senate.gov and drop an email to your senator and to your congressman and say you support AM radio in your community and ask them to do the same thing. Right now, that would really help, and that would help get this bill pushed through and make sure it passes this summer.
And also, if a listener wanted to reach out to you to learn more about our conversation today, how would you direct them?
Yeah, again, they can go to nrb.org and they can learn all about what NRB is doing. They can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NRB CEO. And you can follow us on X. You can also follow NRB on X and other social media platforms, and you'll be informed of all the things that we're doing for Christian broadcasting and communicators.
Troy Miller, President and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters, our guest today here on Mid-South Viewpoint. Troy, God bless you, my dear brother. Thank you for how you are leading and serving the National Religious Broadcasters community. Thank God for you. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Bot Radio Network today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for all the work you do to keep your listeners informed across your listening audience.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on today's edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.